And so there is a medicinal benefit to paying attention to the Word of God. But I want to focus in on the next verse, if you will. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues or forces of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, in our culture and in our world today, from a natural standpoint, I'm speaking just naturally or physically, one of the greatest things that has an impact on the life of people in the United States of America is heart disease. It is, the last time I checked, the number one killer of people in the United States of America. And it manifests itself in many different ways. And so this was recognized by the health community many, many years ago, and so they embarked on a campaign to try to get Americans to live a more healthy lifestyle. In other words, there are certain things that you can do to prevent heart disease. But here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He's not talking about the organ in your chest that pumps blood, but rather the word heart here, the Hebrew word lev, means the center of your being or the inward part of you. Keep or protect your heart, the inward person, with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Now, if you know your Bibles, you know that man consists of three parts. And when I say man, I don't just mean men, I mean mankind. If you're a person, if you're a human being, there are three parts to you. There's your spirit, there's your soul, and you live in a body. And oftentimes we can identify with the body because that's what we can readily see with our eyes. But there are two parts of you that reside on the inside that are unseen to the naked eye, but yet are very real and are in fact eternal parts of your makeup, your spirit and your soul. And so the Bible has many, many references to the fact that we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And there again, that's another study. We don't have time to go into that this morning. But I want to share with you this morning about some things that you can do or some ways to keep your heart healthy. There again, not referring to the organ in your chest that pumps blood, but rather your spirit. How to maintain a healthy spirit. You know, the New Living Translation says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so if we are going to live a healthy lifestyle from a spiritual standpoint, from a godly standpoint, then we have to do some things to make sure that we maintain and guard our heart. That is the part that lives on the inside of us. One of the things that the Lord shared with me many, many years ago when my ministry assignment changed, I was an associate pastor of a church in St. Louis, and the Lord was tugging on my heart to come back to Erie, and I didn't want to do it. It's just, you know, I didn't come right out and say, Lord, I don't want to do that. But things were going so well and things were so nice, I thought, why would I? Well, when God tells you to do something, it benefits you to pay attention to what He says to do. And one of the things that He told me in the process was this: protect your spirit from bad food and bad influences. It's the key, listen to me carefully now, to obtaining and developing strong Christian character. Protect your spirit from bad food and bad influences. It's the key to obtaining and developing strong Christian character. Well, if we want to live a healthy spiritual life, then we have to do some things to make sure that we guard or keep or protect our hearts. So, what things should we do? Here are three things, mainly, that we need to do if we're going to keep our hearts healthy. Again, I'm not referring to the organ in your chest that pumps blood, but I'm referring to your spirit, specifically, and your soul, your inward man. So here's some things that we need to do. You need to write these down or remember these. If you don't have a tablet, then put them in your smartphone. All right? Here's the first thing you need to do if you're going to live a healthy life, if you're going to guard your heart, protect your heart. Number one, you need to eat right. You need to eat right. And so there's a correlation between the natural and the spiritual. One of the things that medical science has determined to help prevent heart disease, eat a healthy diet. Don't eat a diet that's high in fat and high in sugar and calories and all these other things. They can have a detrimental effect on the way you live your life physically. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. In fact, Jesus said it like this. He was being tempted of the devil, and he said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, in that phrase, Jesus said, it is written. Do you remember the account? Well, I have this theory. Whenever you see in the scripture the phrase, it is written, go back and find where it is written and look at the context. And if you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me show you the context in which that statement was originally made. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're talking about maintaining a healthy heart. Again, not referring to the organ that pumps blood, but we're talking about your spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is what the Lord said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy before they went into the promised land. And he said this, obviously, through Moses. And he said in Deuteronomy 8:3. Notice this. He's talking about all the things that they went through as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 plus years. It says, and he humbled you and suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. And so here, early on, God is letting the children of Israel know, and Jesus emphasized it again in Matthew 4:4, that if you're going to live a healthy life, you need to feed on a diet of God's Word. Man doesn't live by bread alone. In other words, by eating the right diet naturally and physically, that's not enough to maintain a healthy spiritual life. You have to feed on God's Word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's Word, the Bible, needs to be a part of your diet every day. A man who influenced my life greatly used to say this all the time. Brother Hagin used to say, you know, the reason some Christians are weak spiritually is they feed their body three hot meals a day, and they feed their spirit one cold snack a week, and they wonder why they have no spiritual power. You need to feed your spirit on God's Word every day. There's one characteristic about the man Job that we read about in that book. Job, by the way, is the oldest Old Testament book as far as when it was written. We don't know where it took place chronologically. But there's one thing that was said about Job that people often gloss over. And we know that he was a wealthy man. We know that he feared God. We know he eschewed evil. We know all of those things. But there's one thing that the Scripture says about Job that most people miss. And it's this. Job desired God's word more than he did his necessary food. And so Job paid more attention to the word of God as it existed then, what little revelation they had. He spent more time paying attention to godly things than he did his natural life. Now, you need to strike a healthy balance there. Yes, Job ate well, but it was not his number one priority. Feeding on God's word was more important to him than going to Sizzla, or the Waffle House, or the IHOP. Are you with me? I know there's no IHOP in town, but they're coming. They're coming. Or the Cheesecake Factory. I love the Cheesecake Factory. Good Lord. I just blessed my daughter, Valerie, and I did a few weeks ago. I sent her a gift card. I said, Sarah, is there a Cheesecake Factory in your neighborhood? She said, Dad, they just opened one up in Midtown. I said, good, I'm going to send you something. Sent her a $100 gift card for the Cheesecake Factory. And she said, oh, Daddy, thank you so much. She said, I can't wait to get there. Every time Valerie and I go out of town, we make sure we hit the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, the desserts are so good. Now, I don't eat cheesecake. I'm not a cheese person, but I love carrot cake. They've got the best carrot cake. It is knockout. I get carrot cake from the Cheesecake Factory, and I can eat off of it for 3 days. It's that big, and it's that good. We were in California. We found a Cheesecake Factory. Marina Del Rey? I mean, we must have drove for an hour and a half through traffic just to get to the Cheesecake Factory. But you know what? It's good to experiment and to take advantage of all the great cuisine that's available out there. But we need to be just as diligent when it comes to the Word of God. I mean, we need to feed on God's Word. That should be the main course of our life. Now, there are other good things that we need to read. I read a lot. And if you're going to succeed in life, you need to educate yourself. You need to bone up on some things. You need to read a lot. Somebody said this many years ago, a person who does not read has no advantage over a person who cannot read. So you need to feed your mind and feed your spirit on good things. And even though we live in a digital age, you need to read. I mean, last night when my wife came to bed, I was in bed with my Kindle. I was reading the Scripture. I mean, hey, it makes it easy. Why not? But you need to be a reader. Now, I read many different things. I read many different books. But the main course that I feed on every day is God's Word. All those other things are like carrot cake. They're dessert. You know, you don't live your life on carrot cake. You live your life off the meat and potatoes of the Word of God. And make sure you feed your spirit. Eat right. That's key to having a healthy heart. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah is right after the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. One of the major prophets. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah said something that was very, very interesting. Of course, he was one of the major prophets in Israel. God called and anointed him when he was just a young lad, probably about 12 years old. And that's rare. That's the exception. But Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 15, 16. He said this, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. In other words, Jeremiah took such great pleasure in hearing and feeding on the word of God. There again, it should be the staple of the diet for the Christian, the word of God. You need to read other things and bone up on other things. Let them be the dessert. Let them be the side issues. But let God's Word be the focus of your heart, and you will maintain a healthy lifestyle. The other thing is, as you're feeding on God's Word consistently, you know the Lord will speak to you through the Scripture. That is the number one way that God speaks to His people, through His Word. The number one way, by the Word of God. And so as you feed your spirit on God's Word, you maintain that healthy lifestyle. You're guarding and protecting your heart, not the organ that pumps blood. There are benefits there, yes, but your spirit and your soul. So that's the first thing you need to do, eat right. Second thing you need to do to keep your heart healthy is be forgiving. Everybody say forgiving. It is so important that you live a lifestyle that involves forgiveness, because life is such that all of us at one time or another are going to be offended. It is the nature of the game. If you live here long enough, you will be offended by someone or something. Mark it down. Count on it. You heard it here first. If you live life long enough, you're going to be offended by something or someone. So how do we handle those situations? You know, it's one thing to tell people, you need to have thick skin. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes things happen in life that hurt. They're very painful. Now, they may not be painful physically, but they can be painful emotionally. I mean, there are things that can happen that figuratively can rip your heart out and hurt you so much that if you're not able to recover, you're never going to make it. And there are many people in life who are not healthy in their spirit, in their heart, simply because they've been wounded, they've been hurt, and they have never adequately recovered. And so they carry that baggage of that pain, that hurt, that disappointment, whatever happened to them, for the rest of their lives. And that's not healthy. You weren't designed to carry that stuff. You know, think of it this way. And one thing I remember my doctor saying to me years ago, he said, you know, if you lose a few pounds, your blood pressure will go down. So I did. I dropped 18 pounds in like 4 months. And I went back to see him, and he was yelling. The doctor was yelling. I'm in the exam room. He's in the foyer at the front counter saying, "Way to go! Way to go! Way to go!" And I knew what I did. I just wanted to hear it from him. And he came in there, "Way to go!" I said, "What?" He said, "You did it! You did it!" I said, "Did what?" He said, "You lost 18 pounds. Your blood pressure dropped 20 points. You see, you don't need any medication." I'm like, "I know that, you know." And so he said, "What'd you do?" I said, "Walk, you know, every morning. I exercise." And he said, "Well, you don't realize how beneficial that is." And see, for a lot of people, physically, they struggle because it's like they're carrying around extra weight they don't need. Well, from a spiritual perspective, when you don't forgive people, you're carrying around extra baggage you don't need. It'll weigh you down. It'll clog up your spiritual arteries. It'll stop you from receiving and living the life that God paid for. You know, Jesus, do you realize that Jesus paid a very expensive price for you? The Bible says this: you are bought with a price, and it was very expensive. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are His. I mean, think about it. Jesus poured out His life just for you. Forgave you of every sin. Recreated your spirit. Took you out of the kingdom of darkness and placed you right beside Him. And after all of that, do we really have a right to hold things against others? Now, Jesus I always call him the master theologian and the master teacher. In teaching the mechanics of faith in Mark chapter 11, when he said, "Whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." That's how faith works. Then he said, "Because this is how faith works, therefore I say unto you, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." That's how faith works. Right after saying that, he said, "And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses." If there's one thing that'll hinder faith that Jesus talked about, it's unforgiveness. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. You cannot afford to carry that baggage with you for the rest of your life. You know, as a pastor, you know and see things. And it's simply because you have some additional help. The Holy Spirit, man, I'm telling you, you stick with Him, He'll make you look like a genius. He is so awesome. But there have been times I've had people, you know, I'm having a conversation with them, and they're talking to me, and while they're talking to me, the Holy Ghost is talking to me. And I know what the Holy Ghost tells me is always true. Always true. People, now, just look straight ahead, smile, people will lie. Holy Spirit never lies. Amen? I've had people look me in the face and say things to me, and the Holy Spirit told me what was really going on. And so, thank God for the Holy Spirit. But there have been times I've had conversation with people, look with people, and they, "Well, Pastor, it's because of this, because..." And really, I know what it is. They've been hurt. They're carrying baggage, and they never let it go. And so that unforgiveness is hindering their life today because of something that happened decades ago. They never forgave. And so they've been carrying that big old bag down the road. And if you don't let it go, you'll carry it for the rest of your life. And you will never, ever have a real healthy heart. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Matthew 18. I want to share a little story with you and show you a principle here that will really, really benefit you. Matthew chapter 18. We're talking about forgiving. If you want to have a healthy heart, you need to feed on God's Word and you need to forgive. Matthew chapter 18. And here's an account that Jesus taught His disciples and us about forgiveness. Let me give you the context. Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I say not unto thee until seven times." I'm in verse 22. "Until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he'd begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents." Now, let me give you an idea of how much money 10,000 talents is. In modern economic terms, this sum, 10,000 talents, would be equivalent to about $9,700,000, a very large amount. And so this man owed him 10,000 talents, well over $9 million. "But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife," that means sell all his property, everything he's got, "and take his family so that they can work off the debt, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him," listen to this now, "and forgave him the debt." Forgave him the debt. Now, it didn't say he put him on an installment plan. He wiped the books clean and said, "You know what? I forgive you. You don't owe me a thing. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, let me do my great economic conversion for you. 100 pence in our modern economy would be the equivalent of $15. The same man who was forgiven of a almost $10 million debt went out and found a man who owed him 15 bucks. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said to him, "O wicked servant, I forgave you of all that debt because you asked me to. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion or pity on you?" And his lord was very angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. In other words, we've been forgiven of so great a debt. We've been converted from death unto life. We cannot afford to not forgive somebody else. I don't care what they do to you. It's not worth it. Compared to the life that Jesus gave me, even though it may hurt, even though it's painful, I will take my faith and I will forgive you. I can't afford to carry that baggage. It's not worth it. Let me tell you a story. Years ago, when I was just out of college, my first job was as a manager trainee with the old G.C. Murphy company. Y'all remember G.C. Murphy's Five and Dime store? My first assignment was a store they had in Meadville. And that's originally how I came to Erie the first time. You know, my great aunt, Helen Smith, lived on East 22nd Street. She said, "Well, you got a job in Meadville, come live with me." I thought Meadville was 10 minutes away. Well, I soon learned it wasn't. But I'm working in Meadville, living in the east side of Erie. And then I was transferred to a store down in Newcastle. And so they had two G.C. Murphy stores in Newcastle. To make a long story short, we had a security guy whose name was Mr. Smoke. And you got to remember, this is 1977. Y'all with me? Staying Alive was number one on the charts. I mean, it was disco time. And Larry Smoke was an older man, almost 70 years old, and he stands out in my mind today because the brother had the whitest afro you've ever seen in your life. And here you had this older guy with a big white afro. Well, mine was black, his was white. But Mr. Smoke was the security guy, went between the stores, and he was there to prevent shoplifting because we had a real problem with shrinkage, shoplifting. And so he taught me as a manager trainee how to catch a shoplifter. And I was good at it. I was so good at it. That's another story. But anyway, there were times he would catch shoplifters, and we had a policy, we prosecuted everybody, and he called the police. Well, Mr. Smoke's an older man. And so one day, I get a call. Mr. Smoke needs some help in the restaurant manager's office. Y'all with me? So the store manager comes downstairs. I come from another part of the store. We're heading for the restaurant manager's office. And we hear this huge commotion. I mean, chairs are flying against the wall. Boom, bang, boom, boom, boom. And so we open the door. Mr. Smoke is on the floor. This guy had stolen, listen to me, an afro comb. 69 cents. Y'all remember the afro comb? They still make them. Not the pick, the afro comb. This guy had stolen an afro comb. Larry Smoke tried to arrest this fella. This guy was like 24 years old, looked like a linebacker for the 49ers. And so he threw Smoke upside the wall. Smoke's down on the floor. Smoke's got handcuffs out trying to cuff this guy. And the fella just threw him across the room, grabbed a chair, threw it against the other wall. We opened the door. Here we are, the cavalry to help Mr. Smoke. And this fella, Smoke's on the floor. This fella turned around and he looked at me. He said, "I know you ain't gonna do nothing." And then he looked at the store manager and said, "You're too old." And so we had a choice to make. Tackle him or let him go. Listen. And Larry Smoke's laying on the floor said, "He stole an afro comb." And you know what I made? A brilliant decision right there. Let him go. And so the guy came for the door. I stood aside. The manager stood aside. And he walked right out. Had half a handcuff hanging on his wrist. He just walked right out. He said, "I know you're not going to do nothing." I said, "You got that right?" You know what? I made a decision. 69 cents or bodily harm. It ain't worth it. It's not. I made a decision. I'm not getting in a fight with this guy over a 69-cent comb. That makes no sense. Well, in the same manner, for you to carry around that unforgiveness in your life makes no sense. You're hurting yourself for nothing. You know what you need to do? Do just what I did with that guy. Let him go. You need to do what Jesus said to those people when Lazarus came out of the tomb. Loose him and let him go. Somebody's done you wrong. They hurt you. It's painful. You need to forgive them. Loose them. Let them go. It's not worth your healthy heart dragging that mess around. Amen? So, if you want to have a healthy heart, number one, feed on God's Word. Number two, be forgiving. Now, turn with me to Psalm 61. We'll close with this. There's a third ingredient to maintaining a healthy heart, and it's called worship. Medical science will tell you if you want to live a healthy life, you need to eat right, you need to exercise. Well, if you want to maintain a healthy spiritual life, you need to exercise through worship. Worship is such an important part of our life. Notice Psalm 61. It's very short. David wrote this psalm. Notice what he said. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I." Listen. I don't care what you go through. I don't care what you suffer or what you face. There's a rock that's higher than you. And you need to run to it from time to time. You know, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and he is safe. Never forget the source of your supply. Never forget who is Almighty God. So often we find ourselves in situations that look overwhelming, where you have no power to change things. Don't forget who you belong to. David said, "Lead me to the rock that's greater than me." And he was the king, but he knew there was someone who had greater authority and greater power than he did. "Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For you've been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." You guys know how good God's been to you? How he's protected you? How he's kept you from... I mean, there's so much crazy stuff going on today. You've got to acknowledge that God has been so good to you. Good Lord. I can't tell you how many times we have conversations, especially my wife, with these young people. You know, somebody's been murdered, and they were like, "I just saw him the day before. You know, I was just with him the morning before. I just saw him that day." Well, that could have been you. But God's been good to you. He's been good to you. For you've been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those that fear your name. In other words, you've blessed me. You've blessed me with the heritage of the children of God. All of you are blessed. All of you have an inheritance. The book of Ephesians is one of the most powerful documents ever written. And in Ephesians, Paul lets us know that we have an inheritance in Christ. To inherit something means to be a sharer or partaker by lot. In other words, there are things in the kingdom of God, spiritual things and natural things, listen to me carefully, that are your inheritance. That means specifically they belong to you. And they've been allotted just to you to the degree that these things have been set aside for you and only you, and they got your name on it. It belongs to you. You need to take advantage of it. You need to reach out and grab hold of those things and make them a reality in your life. See, but you'll never get them if you're hanging on to, you know, that baggage. You know, it's sort of like the old monkey getting caught in the trap because he won't let go of the goodies. You know, you better let go of the unforgiveness so that you can reach out and grab what belongs to you. Amen? There's an inheritance. We're talking about worship. Watch this. Verse 5. For thou, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those that fear your name. You will prolong the king's life. He's talking about himself. And the years, and his years, as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Notice what he says in verse 8. So I will sing praise unto your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. In other words, I will sing of your name forever. You ever wonder where Darlene Check got that song from? Right here. I will sing of your name forever. She realized that even when this life is finished, praise goes on. Because we will be in his presence forevermore. Now listen, here's what praise and worship really is. If you look up the word worship in the Old Testament, you get all of these Hebrew words that mean so many different things. Oblation, service, all of these things. In the New Testament, there's a shorter list of words. But if you want to describe worship in a nutshell, thanksgiving, adoration, appreciation. God's been so good to me, I can't help but thank Him. God's been so good to me, I cannot help but acknowledge what He has done. And just simply say thank you. When I'm challenged and my faith's on the line and the enemy tries to plant the thought in my mind, well, you know, this, that, and the other, I'll just start thanking God for the answer. Amen? I just start thanking God for the answer. That's the key to having a healthy heart. Worship. Worship. And see, you can tell at times when worship's all new to them. You know, because they don't know what to do. I remember hearing Ivy Hilliard give his testimony. Here he's pastor of a big Baptist church, and he goes to a conference, and he's got his gold chain on, and he's got his Bible, and he's looking pastoral, you know, looking all stately. And he went to this conference, and there's a 14-year-old boy with his hands up, tears running down his face. And Ivy Hilliard's trying to look all prim and proper and dignified. And he said, I'm a pastor. I don't know God like that. This boy knows God. Look at him. I'm a pastor, and I don't know God like that. I don't have a relationship with him like that. He said, so I put my Bible down, and I lifted my hands and began to worship. And the presence of God met him where he was. Listen, there's something about worship where you come in contact with his presence. You need to engage your spirit with the presence of God every day. Every day. There's something about the presence of God that'll transform your life. You know, you can't spend time in the presence of God and leave there and do some of the dumb stuff that people do. Amen. Now, you have the capacity to, but you spend time in His presence, you don't want to do that mess. Amen. You don't want to do that mess. But when you spend time in His presence, He refreshes you. He strengthens you. There's something about spending time in His presence that'll transform you. It'll heal you. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. Nothing. Nothing compares to being in the presence of God. And there are times when you're in His presence and He'll speak to you. And He'll give you direction. He'll give you insight. He'll help you avoid problems and troubles. He'll give you the answer you've been looking for. I remember not long ago, I was standing right here. The Lord said something to me in 1983. 1983. And I remember just last year, I was standing right here and I got it. I understood what He's talking about. 30-some years later, I mean, I didn't have to wait that long. But I'd never really followed up on the thing. You know what I mean? The Lord said something to me, I'm like, okay. But I never followed up. What do you mean? I'm standing right here. He said, boom. Immediately, I knew what it was. And I thought, good Lord, have I been that stupid? 32 years and I didn't get it. You know? Well, we don't have to be like me at times, 32 years before you get it. But you can spend time in God's presence. And you know what He'll do? He'll tell you stuff about your kids. Oh, yeah, He will. He'll tell you stuff about your job. Yeah, He will. He'll tell you stuff about maybe that future wife or that future husband out there. Amen? Or maybe He'll tell you something about the one you're with now. That'll save you some trouble. Amen? Hey, if you can't say amen, say, oh me. God is so good. He wants to commune with you every day. How to keep your heart healthy. Number one, you got to eat right. Number two, you got to be forgiving. Here's one thing you need to remember. When it comes to your spiritual life, always be quick at these two things. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to repent. When you miss it and you know you're wrong, don't wait a month. Say, Father, I missed it. Forgive me. Get it right then. See, when you confess your sin to God, it's not when He finds out about it. That's when you get rid of it. Amen? Be quick to repent. Be quick to forgive. And the third thing, exercise through worship. Spend time in His presence every day. And it doesn't mean you have to have the... You can't carry the praise team with you everywhere, you know? By the way, I want to thank the praise team. I mean, these guys are dedicated. Do you enjoy that? They were here at 9:30 this morning working on worship. So when you come to church on Sunday morning, if you're missing worship, you're missing a lot. You need to be here for worship. Well, Pastor Bill, I don't know the songs. Well, just pretend like you know them. Listen, you'll learn them. They're not that hard. That's why we put them up on the screen. But it's not the words, it's the worship. You need to come into His presence. Amen. That sets the stage for everything else that we do. Makes it easy for me. Every speaker we've ever had who talked about ministry here, they've all said the same. It's so easy to teach here. Well, you know why? Because we set the stage with worship. Worship is so important. You can't take the praise team home with you unless you get them on CD. But you can worship by yourself. Amen? Worship, lifting Him up, magnifying His name, acknowledging who He is and what He does. That's so important. Everything that's called gospel is not worship. Everything that's called Christian music is not worship. It's not the style. It's not the beat. It's the message. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. I became a little perturbed this past week, and I shared it with my wife. I mean, this thing flew right by most people. They didn't catch it. But a dear brother who we all love lost a future son-in-law, was murdered down in Florida. And so it was a tough situation on the family. And some ministers sent a letter, and they said, you know, to try to comfort this guy, they sent a resolution. What's with resolutions? Don't nobody care about your resolution, really. I mean, I don't mean to be cruel. But in this resolution, they said, well, the Lord saw fit to take... Wait a minute. The brother was murdered in a hotel. That's not how God takes people home. At the barrel of a gun. You with me? And so it gives the impression that God did this for some unknown reason. That's baloney. It wasn't God, it was some nut, some robber who did it. So don't blame God for just because it happened and it's out of your control, it must be God. That's foolishness. Wake up! Spend more time in the book. Learn His character. He doesn't do stuff like that. See, but that resolution, you know, everybody, oh, thank you. No, it was garbage. It wasn't God. He didn't do that. See, but if you don't spend time in the book, you won't know it. Amen? Because you're eating the wrong food. So we all want to have a healthy heart. Eat right, forgive, and engage the presence of the Lord in your life every day through worship. Amen? Did you guys learn anything today? Amen. Would you stand with me, please?